Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
And this is the Chicago way. John Cass of the Chicago Tribune with you, and Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio, the producer of the Rokan Show. And sitting in with us, it will be Will Lee and from the Tribune, and Pat Brady, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot going on. There's the draft in Chicago. We got Game of Thrones. There's Mutsa. There's politics. But before we start, I want to speak to all the parents out there. If you're the parent of a kid who plays sports, because I was in the courtroom this week looking at the face of evil, Dennis Hastert, and thinking about how parents were going to react to it, and grandparents. So listen, if your child is going to be with an adult or anyone, you give that person the Hawkeye. You give that person that cold fish eye, and you look on their head where you would put your fingernails to pull their head into two pieces. But do it coldly and let them know you're watching. I had a coach once. I gave him the fish eye. He looked at me and he said, "Mr. Cass, why are you looking at me that way?" I said, "No reason." I just stared at him. And then later on, he asked me again, another time, "Something wrong? What is it?" I said, "Listen, those are my sons that are spending time with you, and I will look at you any damn way I please. Do you understand me, sir?" Later on, years later, we became friendly and became a dad, got married. He's a good guy. And now he understands why I was doing it. Because the predator looks for the kid who's not watched over like a hawk.
They blend in.
They're predators, and they look for the needy mom. They look for the mom that needs a man. And she's got a 13-year-old girl or boys. They look for people that trust them. That's how they work. That's the face of evil. Parents and loved ones, be aware. Will Lee has covered crime in this town for a long time, so have I. How many times have you seen it, Will?
It's, you can't calculate how many you see, because it's just a part of how they work. You know, they're looking for, like you said, the needy mom or the shy kid who, you know, maybe is just kind of, you know, desperate or looking for somebody to look up to. Right. And then they step in to fill that role and then take advantage.
Right, and that is the true evil of Dennis Hastert. When I looked at him, you know, I was thinking, in another time I would have, if I had the power, I would have put a revolver on his desk with one in the chamber and looked at him and left the room. But then I thought, that's really too easy for him. That's too neat. He's a coward, and cowards don't get the coward way out. And I think that the shaming that he's undergone is part of it, because is a better punishment, because he's a public man and deserves the public shame. What do you think?
I think you're right, John. I think, you know, it would have been a shame had, you know, 10 years ago when this kind of started, when he started paying out, and he decided that just, "I'm going to off myself. I can't deal with this. I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to off myself." And then it would just have been a headline, you know, Dennis Hastert, former House, you know, kills himself.
Right.
And no one would know, and he would just disappear into the ether. But I think this is more appropriate, because all he was this public figure, and now that's all been cut away from him, and he is nothing. I mean, he is just going to be a withered soul in a cell, and that's it. And I think that's probably the most appropriate end for him. And I commend our system for getting something right.
It's a massive fall. I think in your first column you said something, John, about it being like it wasn't a fall from grace, it was a fall from decency. It is a massive fall. It's like to see be at the very heights of the political system. It's like a storybook, you know, a wrestling coach, a high school wrestling coach.
Yeah, Mr. Decent.
Mr. Decent goes through, helps children. One of the letters of support that I read, it was submitted to the judge, you know, stopped bullying, you know, was there for his students. And then pieces of it start to kind of come apart, like, you know, clay, like breaking off in your hands. And just all of this, like we started, I think, right when we started working on this story last year, and we were both in that that first hearing, and we heard from, we actually heard about one of the victims, the sister of that, and it was just, I don't know, just to kind of see all this kind of happen and be done in a year, it blows my mind. I don't know if it does for you too, John.
Blows my mind. I'd like to see somebody, you know, we have like great political writers in this state, and I'd like to see somebody deconstruct Dennis Hastert, from the time Dallas Ingemason, the state's attorney and chairman of the Republican Party in that Yorkville area, decided this is the guy that we're going to, you know, this is the horse that's going to take us far. I'd like to see that. And also another thing, you know, you want to get angry. I know people got angry. I was angry too. You want to get angry and scream and everything? Fine. But anger gets in the way of clear thinking. And if you were just angry at Dennis Hastert, you wouldn't appreciate the pathology, the sociopath that he is. And you have to kind of step back like the journalist, like a detective, like all of you listening, I want you to step back and think of this. He asked Tom Cross, the former House Minority Leader, to write him a letter of mercy to the judge. He had also sexually abused Tom Cross's brother, Scott, who testified in court at his sentencing.
Unreal.
What kind of a manipulative, narcissistic personality would do that? Ask you to write a letter of mercy, even though you've also assaulted and sexually abused the little brother. What do you think, Jeff? Is there anything that, what kind of rock does Illinois politics live under?
I have trouble wrapping my head around it. I mean, yesterday when that news hit, I was still at home, and Christine was, you know, she was still sleeping. She had gotten up and gone back to bed, whatever. And I yelled, like, I read that headline, and I out loud, without even being able to contain myself, was like, holy, you know, expletive, what the? And I woke her up, and she said, what's going on? I said, I can't even explain it. Like, I couldn't even put into words how twisted and maniacal that concept was, and it still really hits me. Like you said, how could you do that? How could you bring yourself to be that type, that evil?
That's why I wrote the column, "The True Face of Evil," because that's what I saw. That is those talents are the talent of the speaker, of the legislator, of the manipulator, of the Illinois politician, of the compromiser, the combine boss, all those things. But the sociopathology of it, to do that with a person, it is beyond my ability to get to it. And I just saw his face falling like clay melting in front of you. Before we move on to the other stuff, I don't want any parents to think that if your child or your loved one has been abused, that it's your fault. That's not what I mean by saying the Hawkeye. You want to be ever vigilant, and sometimes, and many people are, and they do the best they can, and still these insidious monsters get to the child. So I don't want anybody to have that wrong idea, Jeff. Okay? Well,
especially in this case, I mean, it's Hastert's ability to get people to see him as
the parents.
Yeah, he charmed the parents.
That's what they do.
They fell victim to him too. I mean, there's no way, you know, any parent would be like, "Oh, well, this guy definitely is a creep, and I shouldn't have my kid with him." They thought he was.
I'll tell you who'd know. Area 1, Area 2, Area 6, and all the other area homicide and other coppers have this cop eye that they practice. Some of it's ostentatious, some of it works. But these guys can smell it. And you know what? I'm just saying to everyone, watch your kids. Give that person a look that you are watching. They don't want to go to where there's trouble.
I would like to add the fact that, you know, only thing you can really do also for your kids, because I think the thing about this with this Scott Cross situation was that, like, he, like probably a lot of other victims, and I, you know, I think we all probably have friends who've been molested and who've had to kind of deal with this. They keep it in. They don't tell you. They don't say anything for years. I was very much caught off guard by the fact, well, not caught off guard, it's not the right word. I noticed the fact that he never mentioned it to anybody for years. He'd gone through all of this. He dealt with this man face to face over the years and still said nothing until this very end.
The letters have come into me from readers, people who have been abused, who never said anything. They're heartbreaking. I can't read them to you. I don't want to identify anyone. But I can tell you that people, and you know, the Judge Durkin, who deserves a lot of credit here.
Indeed.
Because he saved Zach Farden. Mm-hmm. He pulled his bacon out of the fire. The U.S. attorney cut a deal. They could have been zero time.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So Durkin deserves applause. But he talked about the circle of abuse and how it's like a rings that keep spreading. It's not only the person that's abused. It's their family. It is the people that come in contact with them. It is the people who love them, who try to help them, and who can't, because there's always that scar in there, and that's the thief. That's what the thief of innocence does, because I don't know what. They have a need to steal that, because they're so narcissistic, they would take that from a child. So let's hope that Dennis Hastert, I don't mind if you die in prison, sir. I know you get the mutza, and I really don't care anything about you, and I don't think anyone else does either.
Hi, hello, and welcome back to the 1983 National Football League Draft.
And with the first round pick,
John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Welcome back to the
draft.
And with the first round pick,
Dan Marino.
NFL Draft.
And with the first round pick,
Atlanta has selected Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. So Atlanta gets a favor by selecting Brett Favre.
Welcome back to the draft.
Good young players with the draft's all about.
Year in and year out.
Welcome back to the
William Lee, former leg man, now kind of columnist and doing your own thing, running around town, doing reporting. I see that you're going out to the NFL draft, which was held this week in Chicago.
Just perhaps the last time it'll be held in Chicago.
Is it true that McCaskey went up to Rahm Emanuel and said, "What's this tiny dancer thing I hear?" Did he say that?
I didn't hear that. That's not
I heard that from a photographer last night. I'm like, send me a memo, man. I got a column to write.
I'm sure there are plenty of times people have been asking the mayor questions about things that you've started off, all the trouble you've caused.
Well, it wasn't me. I think somebody else called him Tiny Dancer. I call him Roundfather. Got to give him his macho. But anyway, we have the draft. And here's the thing that really freaks me out. Why are we even having the draft? This is Laquan McDonald Town. We had NFL players raise their hands. Remember that whole, before it turned out that Michael Brown was, you know, we found out that Michael Brown was a robber and attacked a police officer. He was the innocent victim in Ferguson, and everyone's raising their hands, don't shoot, don't shoot. The Redskins went out on the field, don't shoot, don't shoot. We had protest after protest from athletes, and now this is Laquan McDonald Town. This is where Laquan McDonald was shot 16 times. This is where, this is Chi-Rock. This is where all this activity of the left started. And I don't see, I see the NFL players here. No boycott, huh?
No, that was
Why
last
not?
Year. Well, that was all last year.
What happened to the boycott?
All that stuff kind of, well, that's the thing about this city. Things last and then they kind of fade away because, you know, not that people forget, but there's a furor and then the furor dies down. And all the mayor really kind of had to do was just kind of lay on the ropes until it all kind of passed over.
But where are black officials who would, you know, make a living boycotting things? How come Jesse Jackson's not telling people to boycott the NFL in Chicago where Laquan McDonald was killed and everyone? Notice how it all goes away. You think, you know, I'm rubbing my thumb against my forefinger. What is that sound?
The sound of cash. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
There's money here.
Well, Well, that's the thing about it, John.
It's NFL, like, money!
It's huge money. They drew 200,000 people last year. Who knows if they'll get that many this year with the weather and everything, but they've put a lot of, a lot of resources into this. Ferris wheels and all of this, big screens.
Now, how does this work? Because we went to the NFL draft last year. Mm-hmm. It was a cold and windy day. And this time, like, do they step up on a stage and some overseer, like, slaps people by the, checks their arm? This one has a lot of good beef here. He can jump and run.
Well, I think I told you.
You see, like, I'm being very provocative, putting you in a bad spot. Because you're my friend.
Of course. Well, I think I told you yesterday, last year privately, that's like the whole selection square kind of has that little, slave auction-y thing going on. But
right. That's why I said it.
But aside from that, it's just they put a lot of money. It was funny.
You're not the only guy who never forgets what people say.
I never forget. Right. No, it was funny. I was riding by it today. And right, just feet away from all of this glitz and, high-tech stuff and ESPN folks, I saw a group of homeless people just kind of sitting around watching. I wish I had taken a picture of it. It was just kind of like, I wonder if these folks are excited about some football, Somehow I doubt it.
I don't like football. Let's put it this way. I like football, mm-hmm. but I'm conflicted because I know that these guys are getting their brains bashed in. Mm-hmm. So you're going to cover the draft. Right. And we're all going to bet, and it'll be football and more heads smashed and more brains scrambled and more sex sold on the sidelines, sex in the metaphorical sense, and more food and chips. And some guy in Libertyville who sets the line will make a lot of money in this country. Why did I say Libertyville? Is that because this is the Chicago way and I know how things work? Yes, I do. Okay, here's another thing that we got to get to before you leave, Will, Lee, and Jeff Carlin. There was an event happened last Sunday. It happens again this Sunday. It's not Greek Orthodox Easter, which also happens. And it is, and you guys will be there at my house, it is Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Dragons, men in tights, swords, political intrigue, a dwarf, magic. What else do you want?
The Chicago way.
What'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was a great setup. I think my favorite moment of the whole thing is when the Lady Knight Brienne of Tarth comes in, riding in, and saves the much put upon Sansa Stark, who is in danger of being caught by bad men.
I don't know if something's wrong with me or right with me, but my two favorite characters are badass chicks in this movie.
Oh yeah,
the show. Mm-hmm. The little girl Arya, blind Arya. Mm. Now has to, fight with a stick blind like Master Po from Kung Fu years ago. And Brienne of Tarth. Badass!
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Tough.
Big, tough. Right? It's like Abby Wambach, but blind.
Speaking of powerful women, the Red
Witch? Fiorina?
No, we'll get to that. Yeah. The Red Witch? Oh, my God.
Okay, body double, yes or no?
Yeah, I read about that. She did use a body double.
What do they do, plaster her head on the top of the young body or what?
I believe so.
They just kind of CGI'd that head there on top of those,
I guess,
gorgeous female shape? What is that?
And the secondary shape is what Tor scared me, but that's a spoiler, I guess.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, and one more thing about the spoilers. Grow the bleep up, you little spoiler babies. How long do we have to wait? We have to wait, 3 years to talk about something because you didn't get off your butt and watch the show like millions of others did?
No. I think the water cooler rule from the 80s and everything still lasts. If by the next morning, you'd better be ready to talk about it or cover your ears.
Yeah.
What do you think, right?
I'm
sick of this spoiler alert. On Facebook, they're always like, Mutsa for you because you spoiled it. I'm like, too bad. Watch it. I'll give you one day.
Yeah.
One day.
With like the time shifting of watching stuff, I give 24 hours. So if it airs at 9 o'clock on Sunday, you have until 9 o'clock on Monday to get it in your head, or it's fair game.
9 a.m.
Or get a tattoo on your face that says, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. Yeah,
don't watch anything. Just
maybe we should start a system with like scarlet letters, but for people who haven't watched stuff.
Ooh,
right. Yeah.
So like you they know, and then you can avoid them.
They can carry jester rattles with their own exactly. with their own head, like a likeness of their own head on the stick.
That's really a great idea, Jeff. It's a really inspired idea to have something on your to say, oh, wait,
don't talk to me. No, just shut up and go away. Anyway, Game of Thrones, can't wait. It's all Will's been really thinking about. Thanks, Will.
Thank you, sir.
See you around.
See you guys.
See you, Will.
Still going strong.
He's still going strong.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still going strong.
Remember Ned Stark? He was a lot of fun.
So
but he didn't make it past season one.
Oh, no.
Robert Baratheon was part of that crew. But he never made it to season two. The King of the North was cool, you said. Another favorite that ended up dead. You thought that Joffrey had to survive. He ain't in the credits for season five. Baby, you know I'm the man for all seasons. Characters get cut for various reasons. Some people's parts just ain't very long, but not me. I'm still going strong.
With us now on the Chicago Way, Radio Free Chicago in podcast form, is our friend Pat Brady, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party, now a consultant with
Next Generation Strategies.
Right. And speaking of the last generation, I was in court. You were down there in the federal building. You know what, Pat, what really astounds me here is that this guy has the gall, Hastert, to ask Tom Cross to write a letter of mercy when he abused Tom's little brother, who showed incredible courage, the whole family, in standing up, not only about the crime that occurred, but also knowing that Dennis Hastert was the mentor to Tom Cross.
Mentor? I mean, he was
instrumental.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you make of all that? What kind of a cold bastard is that to ask the man to write that letter when he abused the brother?
Well, he's a serial predator, or serial child molester, as Judge Durkin called him. You know, there was another point that was raised, I believe, at the hearing, where the individual A who didn't testify, who was molested when he was 14.
Eighth grader,
double victimized. He was gonna set him up on a sting operation.
Yes, he was.
So there's no conscience there. The guy's he's no different than any deviant criminal, and he deserves to be in the penitentiary.
For his life.
And you can't balance off good works of whatever, of elected office, and say that doesn't mitigate anything. And it was, you and I both hung around courtrooms for a long time.
Yeah, and people should know you were a prosecutor as well.
Yeah, state and federal. I did hear it. But it was the feeling there yesterday. I don't know if you feel the same way. Greg Hines wrote about it. It was just kind of disgusting. Disgusting. Just get me out of here.
Of course it was. But as a former prosecutor, and for me, as an analyst, I made this point in the column. We can't get – you want to get angry? You want to be like a civilian and get angry? Go ahead. Anger is good because it tells the community what's acceptable and what's not. And shame's important, even though modern liberalism doesn't want to believe it. Shame does work. But there's another aspect to that. Anger gets in the way of your mind, in your analysis, in your thinking. And I'm just astounded at the Hastert arc and his ability to do that to Tom, his ability to try to use the FBI to ruin that other boy. I mean, I'm just wondering, how many other victims are there?
Oh, there's got to be. Scott said there's 9, right?
Yeah.
At least. Ben, you know this. These guys don't stop.
No.
In the individual A, if you read the pleadings too, that is so deviant. Taking him to a camp and he's not even in high school yet, putting him in your room.
Right.
And molesting him. I mean, if, as the parents, you'd want to go kill the guy.
Now, as a parent yourself, we're talking about how important it is for parents to give the Hawkeye to anyone around your kid.
Yeah.
Even if you like them.
They're better trained than we were, though. that Stranger Danger and be more aware and be able to talk about it. You know what I mean? No. I think these kids now, yeah, I think my kids are, and I'm sure yours were too, more aware of reporting, maybe overboard.
I think you're right on that. I think that's a great point. And it's crazy to think about the, you know, I hate to do this, but the Catholic abuse scandal.
No.
It's
almost, yeah, exactly. It's almost like a silver lining in that is that, I mean, as a kid, I was a little older when that stuff really hit, but, you know, my parents saw it in John Wayne Gacy, and they grew up in, my parents grew up in that area. I mean, my dad grew up in Norridge, right. And they were akin to it.
And you're not Italian.
I'm not Italian. And and they saw that, and they were very much proactive on that nature, and always as a kid, hey, you know, we had a safety word, all that stuff. But I think the Catholic scandal almost broadened it to a larger base, people outside of just Chicago, outside of John Wayne Gacy's gaze.
Yeah, back in the day when that was happening to the Hastert kids, were Hastert's victims, we didn't have all this. But it's still important for parents to give that Hawkeye, because that's what the predator doesn't want to see. What about Zach Farden? You know, kind of high profile, maybe a guy with political aspirations someday, U.S. attorney, who cuts a deal 0 to 6 months. If it wasn't for Tom Durkin, Judge Durkin, one of the 8 Durkin boys, all from St. Pat's.
He's such a good judge.
Such a good judge, former prosecutor. Yeah,
he did the mob stuff, didn't he?
And he cut right to the point where he said, did you call Tom Cross? Did you call? When he said that, I knew, no, you're going away.
Toast.
Right? But if it wasn't for Durkin.
He got irked on the lie, too.
Yes, both. Mm-hmm. And the manipulation that you talked about of the trying to set up the victim. But if it wasn't for Tom Durkin, Zach Farden, the U.S. attorney, would have egg on his face today, wouldn't he?
Here's the deal. And I got to defend him because I think very highly of him. But I'm going to defend him putting the prosecutor hat on. And there were. Hindsight's 20/20. When they did the charge, I'm not sure if they were aware of the extent. And the deal is, when you make a plea agreement, you got to stick with the deal. So that was the natural byproduct of that yesterday. We knew going in, this was only going to be 15 months or whatever it's going to be if Judge Durkin does it. But the prosecution did something beyond what I thought they were going to do. I didn't see all the arguments on what they were arguing for time-wise. But they put in enough evidence to let Durkin do the right thing.
They did.
He made a deal. He got out of this. Happened to me once when I was a prosecutor on a CTR case like this. And the judge just screamed at me. And I'm like, well, judge, do what you got to do. It's a bad day for a prosecutor. But I don't, there's no political, Zach's not political. He's a smart guy. He's a law and order guy. So sometimes it just shakes out that way. But you're right. It was 0 to 6. Everyone's like, what?
For our lay people, what's CTR case?
I'm sorry, currency transaction reporting. That's what he was checking.
Got it.
You can take as much money out of the bank as you want, but if it's over $10,000, you got to report. And that's how he got caught through these suspicious activity reports. And then when he got caught, he lied and wired up and tried to put it on the kid.
And for the record, very good point that Farden and his people did put enough evidence in there that was not related specifically to the charge, so that the judge could do something.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, just a fascinating, sickening thing.
It was a sickening day. I've never had that feeling walking out of a courthouse.
Well, you said, you know, Judge Durkin said it was a horrible case for the country, for the victims, for the defendant, and, you know, and for our country. And he never wants to see another one like that again. And that was the last thing he said, and then he walked off the bench. And I thought, hats off to you, Judge Durkin. You did a good job there.
He did a great job all the way through, too, making the people that wrote the
letters.
And I was
down on him. I was hard on him because he'd given the defense everything they wanted, even, you know, quick meetings that that weren't on the schedule that reporters didn't get to go to.
Yeah.
There were things that I gave him a shot, but in the end, you know, there's federal statutes that they could commit this man for life. I'm told it's a criminal sexual abuse issues in terms of dangerous behavior.
But the statute's running all that.
You could on a criminal case, but there's a civil commitment proceeding, just like Jimmy Ryan did. And there's that's out there, but you know that's not going to happen.
He's not well. Although my experience with white collar guys, I don't care either. You can't. There's no sympathy here at all. And I know them all, but there's no sympathy.
Dean Bauer, I'll never forget watching him come out of the halfway house after he lied for George Ryan, And out of the halfway, federal halfway house, he's throwing the key. I'm there at 5:30 in the morning. I'm waiting for him. And the keys are going up in the air, and he's whistling and walking to the car. He's got a golfer's tan on. And I said, Dean Bauer? Because the last time I saw him, Eddie Jensen had him in court with a suit that was four sizes too big. Looked like the man was dying.
I did when I was with the feds.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I saw. when I was with the Justice Department, though, I did white collar. So right. I had a lot of these guys, and I came from the state system. Point is, state system, some guy would plead to four standing on his head. These white collar guys won't admit to anything except tax evasion. I did not commit that fraud, but you're damn straight I didn't pay my taxes. But they'll never, ever admit to anything. And he didn't yesterday.
No.
He didn't. And that was one of the things I was watching for. Is he going to cop to this? If he doesn't, you're going to jail.
You know what? Can we switch on something a little happier here?
Sure.
Which is the political campaign that could force Pat Brady to move to Canada with Barbara Streisand and Alec Baldwin and everybody.
That'd be quite a crew, wouldn't it?
Right. The three of you together.
Oh, God.
All right. What do you make of
it? We were.
All right. Now, in Indiana.
Misty watercolor memories.
In Indiana. Okay. Keep singing while I'm talking. Setting this up. In Indiana. You know, Hoosierland, here's Ted Cruz campaigning. That's Thelma. Louise is out in Oregon. John Kasich. What is going on with these two?
With Kasich and Cruz or Kasich?
Yeah, this so-called alliance.
Well, you know what? It was kind of half-baked. It didn't come off very well. And it was over as quickly as it started. Kasich got himself in a trick bag because before, in one of the states, somebody else had done this. I can't remember right now. And Kasich said something like, "I would never ask my voters not to vote for me." So it was a disaster, and it just played right into Trump's big night Tuesday night. And,
yeah.
And we're relying on the Hoosiers right now to stop this Trump train. But I'm not sure if Ted and Carly are going to be the answer.
I kind of like what Carly's saying about
there's nobody better really at the message.
You know, even though she's not, look, they're all saying now all the. The conservative writers, okay, and I'm one of them, but at least I admit when it's not. She's not really a conservative, but she's saying the conservative stuff now. Ted.
Trump's not a conservative.
Trump's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Trump's a big government. He's a combine guy. He'd be perfect.
He'd be here.
He could be Speaker of the House if the Republicans took over here in Illinois.
In national security, Hillary's going to be the neocon. He's going to be just the opposite.
Isn't it odd? Now, she's the establishment, right? Mm-hmm. She's got the Wall Street. She's got all the neocons are running to her.
Yep.
Trump said just in his recent foreign policy speech that he
did
doesn't.
I haven't read it yet. I did not
that
see
he doesn't, it. He doesn't want us to fight all these foreign wars, so that means more neocons are going to be running over to her so we can have the sands glowing or whatever she's going to do if she's president. It's it's almost like a realignment. It's not almost like. It's happening. What we're seeing is a realignment of American politics, are we not?
I believe so. If any of this pans out, remember he's received 9 million votes in the whole Republican primary, and with 39-40% of the Republican primary voters. So it's not a big mandate, but I could see with Bernie and his crew on the trade issues,
mm-hmm.
And Trump on the anti-neocon stuff, stay out of foreign interventions, that the youngsters don't like Hillary. And if they got a guy that says they're not going to go to war, they don't like Trump that much, but they might go to him. I could see it. I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see it.
The Republicans are getting the crap now. They're getting Trump and all the turmoil, and everyone's like, what about their civil war and whatever the media is doing there? But the Democrats are going to have their turn, too.
Oh, right now it's going on.
It's going on. So this alliance, what do you see as the what is the future of the Republican Party, Trump or no Trump?
That's a great question. And I think the future, the best vision for the future, I think, is the vision that Paul Ryan lays out about applying the conservative principles to modern-day problems to have modern-day solutions, kind of like Reagan did in 80, but it's a different time than 1980, and people got to wake up and realize that. That, to me, is the best solution. But right now, I see potentially it's the end of the party. Because people like me are not going to be in this party if Donald Trump's the leader of the party. And I've been doing this. I walked my first precinct in 1968. But I will not support Donald Trump.
What about but they will go, will the Republican Party become, the establishment part of the Republican Party will become Democratic?
Yeah, because Hillary's a plausible alternative for most of them.
Well, she's big government. And if you're the corporate, without being dismissive, if you're sort of like the mainline Republican inside Beltway guy, you have to go with Hillary.
Yeah, she plays ball.
She plays ball.
Plays ball. She's not
corporate.
She's corporate.
The corporate Wall Street.
Exactly.
Thing.
She has no real core principles.
No.
And I'm not saying that. She just doesn't. And if you look back at what her husband did, remember the first 2 years he was Hillary care. We're going to tax increase. Blah blah blah. But by the time he got pounded in '94, he came back. We got welfare reform.
And NAFTA.
Got a balanced budget and NAFTA.
Right. Right.
It was. I think NAFTA was right around. So the thing with the Clintons is they're pliable.
And they did search. What's interesting with them, they built their politics on the sort of centrist Democrat.
Sure, he started as what was that group that's now not running?
Southern.
He started the it's a National Governors Association.
Yeah, but it was a sort of centrist Democrat thing that old line Democrats in Illinois used to be.
Sure.
Before they moved all the way out to the wingnut left of their wherever they are with Karen Lewis, and
communism.
Communism, fascism, two horns on the head of the same goat.
Exactly.
But, they're all the way out to the left now, but they weren't then. And Clinton was able to. But now Hillary is what? Seeing Big Rock Candy Mountain now? She's promising everything. She's going left while she's going big government. When is the media going to realize?
How can you
do left talk and big government talk at the same time?
I don't know. I think they're going to pass a law that you can stay home till you're 40. Constitutional right. I don't have to move until I'm 40. What are you saying, Mom? No, I got a call. But the bad side of the Clintons, though, is it's always about the Clintons. So the minute she gets that sworn in on the 20th of January, she's going to hop in Air Force One with a magic marker and go pen her place on Mount Rushmore. And then we're going to hear about the legacy for the next 8 years in between scandals.
And that will be...
I promise you, it will be... The first scandal will be something to do with the foundation.
George Washington, I'll fix that in post. George Washington would roll in his grave to see the Clintons and the Bushes in the last, what America's become in the last 25 years.
He's only the only one that deserves the highest praise because he stepped down.
Yeah.
And these people, these Clintons, you're right. All the stuff that they could
I'm not kidding you. She's going out to my, there's my spot right there.
And all the stuff that the meat puppets are forgetting.
Oh, I know.
The FBI files in her room, in her bedroom.
In her bedroom.
Let's go back to that really quickly.
You know what those were? Those were billing records from a Rose Law firm relating to Whitewater that disappeared.
Right.
I was in the U.S. Attorney. That came through our section out and did, in the fraud section. They disappeared, and lo and behold, they reappeared.
And dun, dun, dun.
No obstruction investigation. No, it was the damnedest thing. Cattle futures.
$1,000 and you make $100.
That's how it works.
Right?
Yeah.
And wait, there's the Rose, the travel, White House travel.
Travelgate, what not?
How about the Chinese money guys coming in?
That's when Al Gore had
Saudi money in their campaigns.
And the guy who stopped it, who shepherded the hearings, was rewarded with another trip to space. My hero, John Glenn. And when I saw him. Protect
John
them.
Glenn had issues. I mean,
oh man,
he got lucky on Keating,
and he got his buyout with his payoff, which was you can go to space again, old man.
He's a capitalist.
Oh my God,
still badass though.
Badass, yeah.
But that's what a Clinton administration will be, and instead of getting Osama bin Laden, we'll be talking about the president an intern.
So I should now. Are we going to get
Clinton's going to head the intern program? Do you hear that?
First lady.
Yeah, first lady.
That's why I think he should wear kilts.
He should.
If he wears kilt, all the liberals in my business, and that's all they are. There's like three of us who aren't, who are ripping on Hastert for doing what he did, and rightly so. The interns are only 5 years older,
right?
And it's the same power relationship.
Oh, that's what I never understood when all that was going down—the abuse of the power relationship. But can you see him? He'll be in charge of the White House intern program. Have his own webpage.
I want Barbara Streisand and not Garofalo because I don't think she has any children, but I want all these others to send their daughters to work for Bill Clinton.
Remember her dad, too? The guy was a big L.A. donor. And I remember thinking, man, if that were my kid, I'd be screaming bloody murder. And it didn't bother. Just
no shame.
No shame. Just whatever.
And now we got to go back to that. So the Republican Party will be reformed.
Well, the Republican, and as I tell a joke with my kids, if you're going to wreck my car, wreck it all the way because I want a new one.
So it will be, and I would like it to be.
I do too.
Libertarian, constitutional. I have my doubts about Paul Ryan. I know you like him. I have my doubts about him. I call him the Nosferatu of the establishment.
He's a Kempian.
Is he?
Yes.
Brother, can you pair a dime? Right? Isn't that the Kempian's favorite thing? But I guess we'll see a different kind of party there. And then in the next election cycle, the Democrats will have a different party as well because they're going to break. They have to break.
Yeah, they can't. They're too far out. And listen, Bernie's still in it and getting a lot of votes. It's interesting. It's fascinating. But I actually do, if it's going to happen, blow it up. Because my kids are always saying, Dad, why don't you start your own party? And just what you described, the kids.
The Bradys.
The Bradys, yeah.
It's an interesting point, John.
We need more Bradys in Illinois politics, though.
Interesting point, because on Ro and Anna's show, I take the calls. People call in.
Yeah.
And I had two people call this week with that point, be like, well, you know, if this election is going the way it is with Trump and Bernie and all the chaos and the stretching of these parties being very, from side to side, what's next? What's, 4 years from now, who the hell are we going to be looking at then? If this is the precedent set now, what do we see then? And I think you're right. It's going to have to be wreck the car. Let's get a new model. Let's find something else, because the people who are in the wings aren't going to cut it.
You're missing something that has to come first, which is blame. And the blame game is going to be very fast. How about it, Pepperdine?
No, it's going to be
brutal.
The
blame game, it'll be Ted Cruz sucks or Trump sucks. But I guarantee you one thing. I don't think Karl Rove is going to blame himself. I don't think the Bushes are going to blame themselves. I just don't see that happening.
No.
$100 million.
I didn't even think about it. There's going to be a lot of blame.
Right?
$100 million last cycle.
And how's that going to matter? They're going to go to their favorite scribes, and those scribes will carry the water and create the debate, right?
Yeah. Reince will probably take a hit. Not his fault, but he's going to take a hit.
It won't be his fault.
He's
just the chairman of the party. It's the guys with the money that are, right?
Yeah, and the people, I think, are starting to understand that those roles are not as powerful as people think they are. You're just trying to run an election.
Herding cats with these guys.
But it is. It's a fascinating time. I'm all for a new party. I'm fed up with the old one.
Both sides.
Not here. I mean, there's some great people here. I love the Illinois Republicans. I really do, top to bottom. But the national stuff, it's just gone.
Pat, before we let you go or wrap up things here, I want to get who do you think Trump is going to pick as a running mate? Do you think he's going to pick a woman?
Ryan Seacrest.
Kim Kardashian.
Oh. So. Maybe. I like Courtney. She went to the University of Arizona.
Oh, yeah. She's tougher, I think.
She's better looking.
There you go.
Courtney Kardashian?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but honestly, do you think he'd pick a woman? I mean, just to kind of counter the Trump thing, counter the Hillary thing.
What woman with any idea of a future or any shame would go along with that ape?
Sarah Palin.
She's so brain damaged.
I know, but absolutely. But look at Trump. I mean, he was her first go-to, or she was his first go-to, rather, in that female power.
The reason he's not stupid, he can count votes, and Sarah Palin probably polls at about 8% right now.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, guys, that for all our hatred of Trump, and I don't like him because he's not a conservative, and we don't like him for different reasons, I would not count him out in a year of insurgency where Hillary Clinton is the establishment candidate.
And she's...
Because she's so establishment.
Plus, she's hated, too. No, her numbers are not too far.
She might as well be wearing white shoes at the country club, like the old time Republicans.
The most startling fact number I've seen is that Trump has 900,000 more votes than Romney did.
Yeah, the voter, but those are Democrats that are coming over to vote in these open primaries. And here's another factoid that was in the paper the other day. Ronald Reagan had 1 million more votes than Gerald Ford in 1976. And remember who the nominee was, because it's a process. And if you don't follow I'm not defending the process, but it is the process. And it's been around since the 1880s. So quit crying.
Yeah, that whole thing about they're stealing it from me.
But it's a great line.
He's the guy. If there's one guy who knows about inside deals and writing campaign checks to get what you want, it's him.
You saw Sepelsa's story here, right?
What?
$100,000 to the Democrat Party here.
Oh, yeah.
And all the money he paid for he tried to get the bottom part of that Trump Tower valued as worthless.
Yep.
Yeah.
Paid zero. I mean, essentially paid nothing for it.
Where are you going to move? I want to go somewhere warm.
Probably I'd go to, since Greece is almost completely burned out. Maybe that would be a good place, I'd go back to the village. I'm going to,
I'll go with. I go to Ireland, but it's never sunny. I want to go somewhere that's warm.
Greece and Ireland are the two places next to Colorado. I think it's Colorado's Greece and Ireland, then Colorado, that has the best lamb in the world. Irish lamb? No, I'm not kidding.
No, I know.
Irish lamb? Greek
lamb? You try to catch one of those guys?
No, I just go to Casey's Market to my Irish butcher.
I was chasing one last year. They are really fast.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they taste good, though?
First time I had lamb was 3 weeks ago.
You know what? Pardon me?
Yeah, never had
it. Oh, boy.
Where'd you have it? Just like lamb chops or something?
Yeah, I had dinner with a couple of buddies and I had some lamb. I've never had it before.
The lamb has to turn outside on coals. As the bishop of lamb roasting, Chris Lalopoulos, told me, he's the guy who sells all the Yudos cones.
Yeah.
Although if you buy Yudos, it's off a cone that Lalopoulos makes here on manufacturing in Chicago.
Hey, can you get me a translator?
You know what Yudos is? Yes. Sauce on the side. And he says the lamb has to be seen by God. It has to rotate in the sun to be seen by God to taste the best. I agree.
You got a big holiday this weekend, right?
Yeah, the Orthodox Easter that... And you know what? I think there'll be many Serbians who will remember that Hillary Clinton and her husband bombed Serbian churches on Easter Sunday many years ago when they bombed Serbia.
I forgot about that. They
bombed the churches. Now, can you imagine?
Why did they bomb the churches?
Because they wanted to destroy the Serbians, right? The Serbians were fighting the Albanians. And so, whatever the moral implications are, can you imagine if we bombed a mosque? Oh, everyone would freak, but I guess bomb an Orthodox church.
Well, you know, that's part of the problem, too. The change in not just politics, the culture of the country has got to change, too. There's too much. Everybody's too sensitive, too. We got to go back about 25 years.
To what?
Something that's less everything you say is make somebody angry and kids can't do anything and you can't go outside without sunblock on them. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And not only that, you can't even say anything.
Huh?
I'm working on a column and I could probably use everyone's help who's listening. It's a commencement address for the class of 2044.
What are they going to?
What have they, accomplished? Because by that time.
They've lived through Trump.
There won't be any.
No competition. No class ranks.
There won't be class ranks.
I read that. I got my kids. I'm like, what do you mean? My kids worked their tail off. No class ranks.
What is that?
Bathrooms will just be a hole in the ground.
There won't be any sexes. We won't even procreate then. Yeah. And we won't have poetry because that might get you to think. Nobody will be able to talk politics. I might get offended, right?
My kids.
Your whole offended
my
thing.
My God, love my kids. They're all the Reagan conservatives. Patrick, they come home every day saying, I just drive my teacher nuts. They're all liberal.
Awesome.
In the day after the election in 2008, Patrick's like, I don't know, 10 years old. He puts his McCain hat on. Julie goes, why are you doing that? He goes, just to irritate my teacher.
That's nice. That's nice. Well,
I agree. That's going to be a good column.
I got to write it. But the idea that what are these kids? You can't talk on a campus anymore. If you have a view, like they shut down one campus just the other day. Christina Hoff Sommers,
our
old friend, the war on boys, and some others were having, I think it was in Amherst.
Yeah.
And people started shouting them down. F you. And they were screaming. In other words, you can't have alternate view. The hero when Pat Brady and I were growing up was the cowboy.
Yeah, exactly. There was a great article that was written, and I wish I could find it, in the title there. And you should write this because you could do it beautifully. And the title was, The World Needs More Cowboys. And it was about Bob Woodward, the guy that played cards, drank, didn't study much. And all these guys were Harvard and Yale's, and he wasn't. And while these guys were off studying Harvard and Yale, he was breaking Watergate.
They used to be cowboys, and now... Recently, it was Jack Bauer who was the hero. He's this ultimate bureaucrat, right? Are you in the meeting? I'll kill you. I'll cut your throat out and get the microchip that you swallowed, Russian spy. But I'll also fight about who's in the meeting. Are you in the meeting? Is he in the meeting? Chloe? All that stuff. The hero became the bureaucrat.
The
deadly bureaucrat.
Yeah. I
agree. But not the individual.
The cowboy. Reagan's best picture was a picture of his cowboy. I got it in my kitchen.
You know what? That picture? I'll tell everybody. You have it in your kitchen?
So my kids, we celebrate Reagan's birthday.
In my office? That's a great one to do. In my office, at home, I have the picture there's a window. Like, it's in the basement. It's not like a huge. It's in the basement, but it's an office. You'll see it when you come over, Jeff. And in the window of the office, I put his picture, Ronald Reagan, cowboy hat.
Isn't that a great picture?
What a great president.
Huh.
And to look at these midgets on all sides, you know, I mean, like.
The little one people, John.
What?
Little people.
Little people, like the one that used to go, the guys in Springfield let him win at cards, and now he thinks he can bow to Saudi Arabia. Who's that? Oh, yeah. The guy sitting there now. For Pat Brady, Jeff Carlin, Will Lee, all the people of Games of Thrones, including the dragon and the gorgeous Brienne of Tarth with her leather pants and her sword, has been another edition of the Chicago Way. If she were, I'd run her for mayor of Chicago. Another edition of the Chicago Way. Talk to you guys. Bye.
Thanks.